just when you thought there was no hope for baby boomers. It's the Rational Boomer Podcast. Logic, common sense, compassion. Yeah, who knew? Now, here's Mike.
We are back on the Rational Boomer Podcast. Hopefully your day is going well. It is Wednesday. Kind of a weird day yesterday. A lot of bad news for Donald Trump. A lot of bad news. There's no good news for Donald Trump. And I think the worst news that Donald Trump got yesterday isn't all the horrible things going on with his Truth Social stock or his bond situation or the fact that he's going on trial on Monday. That's not the worst news. None of it is. I think the worst news is that Forbes came out and said that Donald Trump is no longer in the top 500 richest people in the world. He dropped off the list. Now, it seems weird that Donald Trump would be worried about such a thing with all this other shit going on, but you have to understand we're dealing with a narcissist. His personal image and this cloak of being rich and famous and powerful is most important to him, of paramount importance, because he's got a weak ego. He's got a insecurity complex, and he needs to people to know that he is better than what he knows himself to really be. So he finds that out. And I haven't heard any response to that. Maybe he's busy with the other shit. But the fact of the matter is, I'm sure we will. And we're going to talk more about that particular story later in the program. So stick with us. We've got a bunch of emails to read, as we normally do. So let's get to that. Now, Eric from Iowa was with us on the show yesterday. Always does a great job. It's always a great show. And I thank him for coming on. And we let people know that he has a TikTok now, Analytical Iowan. Check it out on TikTok. It's a good account. I checked it out yesterday. And a lot of good content. I'll be checking in with him because he's a smart guy. He knows what's going on. He's very detail-oriented, and I'm not detail-oriented, so I need people like that kind of feeding me information so I can keep on track. But check him out. Anyway, he was on the show yesterday. All went well with that, as it normally does. But something got him fired up, and he sent an email yesterday. It goes like this. Hi, Mike. Jesus Christ, what's wrong with Arizona? The Supreme Court is allowing an 1864 abortion ban law to take effect again. That's from 50 years before Arizona became a state. I know the age of the law shouldn't matter, but didn't anyone consider revisiting this law? This is a group putting a ballot initiative on abortion on the ballot in November. Arizona is going to be up for grabs this November, just another state that will probably go blue in November because of the overturning of Roe v. Wade. The countdown is on to the beginning of Trump's first trial. It's going to be good. As we talked about, I don't see him surviving this case, let alone the election. He keeps trying to delay, but it's not working. Yeah, that was probably the big story of yesterday. Arizona comes out and the Supreme Court enacts a law from, 160 years ago? It was codified 123 years ago. This is about banning abortion, save for those women that needed their lives to be saved. It befuddles me that the Republicans keep doing this. And we'll talk more about it when we talk about the story. But I'm with you. I'm with you, Eric. I don't fucking get it. It makes no sense. The important thing, though, is it's good news for the Democrats, and we'll talk more about that when we get to the story. All right. Thank you, Eric, and welcome back anytime. We always look forward to talking to you. Next email says, Hi, Mike. I just wanted to email you and tell you that I enjoy your podcast and your TikToks every day. I look forward to the information uncensored, raw, and up to date. I, like you, believe Trump will not win in November. He shouldn't even be allowed to run, in my opinion. The only reason he has the opportunity is because the Republicans that propped him up and decided not to go through with the amendment after all, and after the January 6th issue. A national disgrace and treasonous. Have you read Liz Cheney's book, Rhonda? I have the book. I've listened to some of it. I have the audiobook. Somebody in our audience gifted me that audiobook on Audible, and I have listened to a good part of it. And, you know, it's kind of like what I expected. I have a problem. I like the fact that Liz Cheney stood up for what was right, has some integrity, and is honest. But at the same time, I agree with nothing in terms of policy with Liz Cheney. I'm glad she stood up, but a lot of the things she talks about, I just don't agree with. But she had some insights to the January 6th thing, of course, having been on the committee. It is a very good book, and I'm going to finish probably on the plane when I go to Georgia on Monday. So I haven't listened to all of it, but I have listened to some of it. All right. Thank you, Rhonda. Oh, and Rhonda forgot something, so she's got another note to me. She says, "Hi, Mike, I wanted to send another email just to point out the fact that it's April 15th tax day when Donald Trump has to start his criminal court proceeding, which is also his favorite day of scamming out of paying taxes. So there's another fraud committed on top of everything else. He'll just say he's under audit so he doesn't have to show his tax returns for the campaign. Any word on who his running mate is going to be? Just curious. He has to be a weak, wimpy person, maybe like Mike Johnson or Kevin McCarthy." Rhonda. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be Mike Johnson or Kevin McCarthy. Those two are having little problems with their image. They both appear to be pretty weak. But you're right. It's not somebody who's going to have star quality. Donald Trump doesn't like people taking attention away from him. So who is it going to be? I don't think we'll know until the until the convention, assuming Donald Trump is still in the mix in the convention, and assuming there is even a convention. Now you're probably saying, "What the fuck are you talking about?" Now, I've heard some rumors that with all the money problems for the Republicans, they may not have enough money to put on a convention. I don't know that that's true, but it's conceivable given the money situation they're currently in. I don't know who would be dumb enough to be his running mate. You know, maybe Carrie Lake, but she's weak as fuck. It's not only somebody who can do the job, because nobody, no matter who he picks, won't be able to do the job, but it's somebody willing to do it. And who's dumb enough to do it? Who of any importance or any substance is actually willing to do it? I don't know. I think Donald Trump is going to ride this out a little bit. He may want to announce somebody, but chances are whoever he announces, if he announces anytime soon, that'll probably change three or four times. Donald Trump is a little fickle when it comes to people he supports, you know. He said people are the greatest people in the world, then they said something he didn't like, and then they were the worst people in the world. So I don't know who would jump on that train with Donald Trump. It'd be the stupidest move anybody could ever do, and I don't know who it could be. But I can guarantee you this, whoever he does pick as a vice presidential candidate, they will be dumb as fuck, and they will be a fucking criminal, because that's who Donald Trump hangs out with. All right. Thank you, Rhonda, for both your emails. This one comes from John. He says, "Hi, Mike. I'm an old fart like you, and I enjoy your commentary on TikTok. I'm a native of Florida, and my ancestors go back to the 1700s. Wow. I believe in and support the Constitution and our form of government. I stay in constant disbelief that about one half of our country buys the bullshit that Diaper Donnie spews. We're also stuck with Ron DeSantis, but he will soon, not soon enough, will term out. I would not clean the urinal with either of these people. Donald and Ron are both trying to screw us." John. Well, John, I'm going to give you some bad news. They've already screwed you. Donald Trump has, and Ron DeSantis has. And beyond that, Ron DeSantis has put a great state of Florida, a place I loved, put it in a bad situation, not only for possible tourism, which is the mainstay for income in that state, but just making it unlivable for people in that state. He's been negligent as a governor. He's been stupid as a presidential candidate. He's just a bad guy. He's a bad candidate for president. He's even a worse governor. And I think ultimately history will take its toll on Ron DeSantis. Once we get past all this feverish MAGA shit and it goes by the wayside, and trust me, it will, I think Ron and Donald are going to be troubled by how they're looked at historically. I don't think it's going to go well for either one of them. All right. Thank you, John. Next one, I think, comes from Darren in Montana. Hey, Mike, just watched Alex Jones versus The Truth. Can't imagine I hate someone more than DDD. But that guy is a Trump twin. I had tears in my eyes watching what these people went through. He made money on his snake oil at the expense of people losing their babies. Just got caught up from the last 2 days, and I gotta say, Eric is so sharp. Man, it is great listening to smart people. The funny thing is, in Montana, we have one Democratic senator, which is valid, and an incumbent for 3 or 4 terms. The guy running against him was a Trump supporter, but now that has fallen off his ads. Trump is circling the drain, and I can't wait to see it. I'm like you, not afraid of shit. Love all you like-minded individuals, Darren. Yeah. You know, some people get scared about these crazy Trump humpers running for the Republican Party. Let me tell you something. The Democrats love that. The crazier the opponent, the better. The less likely they have any chance at all. Everything that's going on with MAGA and Donald Trump these days is a fucking shit show. Nothing is going their way. Yet they still want to walk around and talk proud like, oh, it's going to be a close one. No, it's not going to be a close one. You've done everything you could to fuck things up for Donald Trump and yourself. Good job. Thanks, Darren, for the email. All right, we have another email. Hey, Boomer, can you or somebody explain to me what the fuck is going on with Trump and the Republicans, who both over the past few days? Besides actually looking at the eclipse, Trump has completely freaked out his base, the media, his party, and especially the evangelical whack jobs by appearing to reverse his original position and position of his most powerful supporters, the evangelicals, with his reversal on abortion rights, saying he favors a 15-week ban and everything will be decided by the states. I don't think he said, you know, earlier he's something leaked out that he said 15 weeks. I don't think he went that far. I think he just said, well, leave it to the states. And that's a problem. He was in a no-win situation anyway. If he said, leave it to the states, that pisses off the evangelicals. But it also pisses off the 70% of the people that support Roe v. Wade, because we know what's happening in the states, a la Arizona just yesterday. Donald Trump steps on his dick constantly. Now, he's hinting he does not favor a total ban, but he won't come out and say that because that'll piss off the 70%. But he does want to say it because the evangelicals want him to say it. He painted himself into a corner. He can't come up with the right answer here. It's just not possible. All this with ads and some media have pointed out his boasting that he alone is responsible for overturning Roe v. Wade. Yeah, that's the one piece of video that he is going to regret. There are a lot of things working against Donald Trump and the Republicans, but the Roe v. Wade overturning, that is the one. That is the one that's going to end it for the Republican Party. Now, there are reports from other certain media outlets that his hardcore supporters feel that they have been betrayed by him and no longer trust him and are freaked out. Imagine that. After 8 years, now they don't trust him. Good move. Now, this combined with the MAGA Republicans probably stepping on their own landmines may have by having the Arizona courts uphold an archaic law from 123 years ago and older that totally bans abortion. They did this in an all-important election year, much like overturning Roe v. Wade during the midterms. It may be too early to say this, but this can and probably will bury them at the polls. I'm missing something here, but this is totally bizarre. It sounds like they're on a kamikaze mission. They know they're going to lose, but are doing what? Trying to create as much chaos and destruction as possible? That's what I've said. I've been pretty befuddled by this whole situation as they keep standing on these landmines and they embrace overturning Roe v. Wade when they know it's an absolute fucking loser. I'd love to hear your take on this. I'm totally mystified and a little freaked, Z-Man. Well, yeah, I can't explain it either. You know, they overturn Roe v. Wade. They think they're going to get a red wave in the midterms, but that doesn't happen. They get their ass kicked, and it was largely due to them overturning Roe v. Wade. Any normal people of an intelligent IQ, a decent IQ, would say, oh, we fucked up there. Maybe we should back off it a little bit. Maybe we should just keep it on the DL, not talk about it so much, because it's certainly not going to help us. But they continue to embrace it. They continue to embrace it. We have the IVF thing coming out of Alabama. That causes all kinds of problems, and now they're trying to walk that back. And then we have this Arizona thing, which is completely fucked up and going to cost legislators, senators, congresspeople, and Donald Trump the election in Arizona. But they still do it. I think it's a combination of arrogance and stupidity. You know how narcissists are. You can tell them they're wrong. You can prove to them they're wrong, but they refuse to step back. They refuse to admit it, and they just double and triple down. I think they can. I think they believe they can impose their will on people and make them believe what they want to believe in spite of the fact nobody does. I don't know how to explain it. We'll talk more about it in the first story. All right. Next email. Hey, Boomer, I'm a fan of your show, and I was told about your podcast by my dad. Thanks, Dad. He's a boomer and has also sent his fair share of emails to you over the past few months. I'm no boomer, as I was born in 1989, but I have found your podcast as a voice of reason in the sea of dumb takes out there. I live in the deepest of MAGA strongholds, Alabama. Today, I read an article regarding the Alabama Secretary of State, Republican, and the DNC. Secretary of State Wes Allen said that due to the date of the DNC, which is scheduled for August 19th this year, he will not certify President Biden and VP Kamala Harris as the official nominees on the ballot in the general election. He cited an obscure law in Alabama that states that the deadline to certify their candidates is no later than the 82nd day preceding the day fixed for the election. With the election falling on November 5th, the 82nd day before that date would be August 15th. Just for reference, the RNC this year is July 15th to 18th. Doing just the most cursory research, the RNC held their conventions within their 82-day window four times this millennium, 2004, 2008, 2012, and 2020, with 2016 being the lone exception. This to me seems like a backhanded way to try to get Biden off the ballot in the state as retaliation to the states that are trying to remove Trump from their state ballots. It astounds me that this can be so blatantly biased and go unnoticed or unremarked by the people living in the state. Do you have any thoughts on this development? Are there any precedents of this nature in history that you can recall? Thank you for your continuing fighting the good fight. Keep up the good work. And I will keep listening. Son of Over the Road Russell. Well, son, I only say that because I don't know your fucking name. But we do know Russell. He does write a number of emails, and we always look forward to them. Well, it's funny that you would mention this about Alabama because it sounds like the same situation in Ohio. And people are all worried about it. First of all, There's no way Joe Biden's going to win Alabama anyway, so it really doesn't make that much difference. But still, it is troubling. It is very troubling. This is just a loophole that they're trying to fucking exploit because they're mad at Joe Biden and they know that Donald Trump doesn't have a fucking prayer. You can bet that Joe Biden and the DNC know all about this situation and they'll get it rectified. The idea that Joe Biden, the sitting president, wouldn't be on the ballot in Ohio or Alabama, that would be just fucking embarrassing. They don't want to be embarrassed, do they? Oh, wait a minute. Arizona just embarrassed the piss out of themselves, so maybe they don't care. I have to think the Democrats have this in mind and are working on a solution to it. Or maybe, you know, maybe they do take them off some, Donald Trump off some ballots and just kind of go tit for tat. The important thing to remember is all this bullshit, all this shit show bullshit. This is because of one reason. This is because of Republicans. They can't accept a loss. They just can't accept the loss. So they're going to play all these games and try to own the libtards no matter what they do. The important thing to remember is in the last 3.5-4 years, they've been trying to own the libtards. And you know what? They always fucking fail. They always look stupid. They always get embarrassed. I'm not really worried about these two things. I'm sure the DNC has it in mind and are working on a fix or a workaround for this thing. I wouldn't worry about it too much. It just shows how petty Trump-la-fucks are. I mean, this is why they tried to steal the 2016 election, in fact did, and why they tried to steal the 2020 election. They don't have a prayer if they don't cheat. And it's not surprising that they may try to cheat in 2024, but they just don't have the power they once did. And it's going to be a problem for them. So I'm not too worried about it yet. Again, Joe Biden wasn't going to win Alabama anyway. Ohio, that's a little more concerning to me, but I'm sure the DNC has a plan to fix this thing. At least I would hope so. All right. Now, the first story we're talking about is what we mentioned in the emails, which is the absolute embarrassment for the state of Arizona. Now, I have a fondness for Arizona. When I was young, I lived in northern Arizona for about a year, and it's a nice state, and there's some nice people in it. A lot of red motherfuckers there, but back in those days, it was the just before Ronald Reagan came into office in 79. So we didn't really deal with conservative, liberal stuff back then. Nobody talked about politics then. It wasn't in people's, the forefront of their minds. And I'm looking forward to that day when we don't have to have it in the forefront of our mind every fucking day. But anyway, the Arizona Supreme Court ruled in a 4-2 decision that a 150-year-old law criminalizing almost all abortions can go in effect, according to a Tuesday court filing. Now, the law would override a previous 15-week abortion ban in the state, which went into effect in March of 22. The 19th century law has been stayed for 14 days, allowing for a lower court to hear additional arguments. But if allowed to go into effect, it would be a near total ban, making exceptions only in the cases that the pregnant person's life is threatened. Healthcare providers who perform abortions could face prison time of between 2 and 5 years. An October 22 order from the Maricopa County Superior Court requires a delay of 45 days after the mandate in the case is issued before the 1864 law can go into effect. Citing that order, Planned Parenthood Arizona said in an email statement that it will continue to provide abortions for pregnant patients up to the 15-week mark for an unspecified period of time. The 1864 law is set to face legal challenges if it goes into effect. Now, State Attorney General Chris Mays, she's a Democrat, stated that during her term, no woman or doctor will be prosecuted under this draconian law in this state, May said during the after the ruling. She said it was unconscionable and an affront to freedom. Several reproductive rights groups in a coalition called Arizona for Abortion Access are pushing forward with a ballot initiative that would allow voters to choose whether language guaranteeing abortion access up to 24 weeks of pregnancy should be added to the state's constitution. So it's conceivable that this question could go on the ballot in November, much like what we're seeing in Florida. And that would change everything. Let's be perfectly honest. In Arizona, they're no different than the rest of the country. At least 75% of the country support Roe v. Wade. There's a lot of young people that are impacted by this law, impacted negatively. It puts women at risk. It puts them in danger, and they are not going to like this a bit. And it strikes me strange that they want to do this. This is what I find so befuddling. If more than, and I understand it's more than 75% in Arizona support Roe v. Wade, and they want to pull this shit, and they want to run it through the Supreme Court, there's going to be a lot of pissed off voters come November. And it's going to cost them. It's going to cost them in the legislature. It's going to cost them in the Senate. Ruben Gallegos is running for the Senate seat. And his opponent is Carrie Lake, that fucking goofball who's embraced a national abortion ban. Now, she'll try to walk back from it, but she said what she said, and we can't believe anything that she fucking says. That would make it easy for Ruben Gallegos to win and maintain a Democrat in the Arizona Senate seat. And then we got members of Congress. These people are going to be terrified by this law. And they're going to be angry, and they're going to take it out on the Republican Party. But you know who else they're going to take it out on? Donald Trump. They're definitely going to take it out on Donald Trump, and here's why. First of all, Donald Trump has bragged that he is the one that got Roe v. Wade overturned. That's enough to lose a shitload of votes. But it's what he said later. People were trying to press him to commit to what he felt about the abortion law. Of course, he has no balls, so he couldn't really answer the question. So he hedged. And what he said was, well, I think they should just be sent back to the states, which pissed off the evangelicals because they want a national ban. And it didn't pacify the people that were pro-choice because of what's going on in Arizona. So Donald Trump is hoping to win Arizona. It's kind of a swing state. It's a important state. You remember there was some fake electors there, and there was controversy about who won in Arizona. So if Donald Trump has said he wants the states to decide about abortion, and Arizona has the audacity to go back 160 years and pick up an archaic law to essentially ban abortion, those people that support Roe v. Wade, which is 75-85% in Arizona, they aren't going to be too happy about that law, and they aren't going to be too happy about Donald Trump's plan at leaving it to the state. So that's going to cost Donald Trump a lot of votes in Arizona, and I don't think he was planning for that. I don't think he understood that was a possibility. Once again, Donald Trump fucked around and found out. This is all too reminiscent of the midterms and overturning Roe v. Wade just before the midterms. These dumb fucks thought that, oh, the women will just forget about it. They'll get over it. It'll be fine. Well, no, women are dying. You're taking away a civil right away from, or a constitutional right away from women. They ain't going to forget. They didn't forget in 2022, and they sure as hell not going to forget in 2024, not to mention the men that support these women. That's why we're talking about 75% supporting Roe v. Wade. So Donald Trump, the Supreme Court in Arizona, just fucked the Republicans in Arizona. As far as I'm concerned, that's a win for the Democrats just based on their own fucking stupidity. Now, an August 2023 poll by Indivisible and Data for Progress, progressive organization, suggests that 60% of Arizonans consider themselves pro-choice. Today's ruling is devastating. It's also wildly out of step with where Arizona voters are at. Arizona Republicans in the courts and in the public office have been playing political football with abortion rights, and voters are getting fucking tired of it. Mary Urbina, managing director at Indivisible, said in a statement, "The only course now is going directly to the voters to enshrine abortion rights in the state's constitution." Since the Dobbs decision in June of 2022 overturned the landmark ruling, Roe v. Wade, abortion has been banned in at least 14 states. Today's decision to allow Arizona's archaic near-total abortion ban to be enforced is devastating for reproductive freedom, said Alexis McGill Johnson, president and CEO of Planned Parenthood Federation of America. She said, "We have already seen the effect of similar bans in states like Texas and Oklahoma, where some patients have been unable to get care even when their lives are at risk, and the healthcare providers fear criminalization." Now, people ask me about what I thought about this Arizona verdict by the Supreme Court. And I said the same thing as a lot of people said. It's unconscionable, it's reprehensible, and it is absolutely dangerous for the women of Arizona. It's fucking appalling. But in a political sense, I think it's good news. You know, in politics, especially in a presidential campaign, everybody's looking for an edge. They want to find something bad on their opponent. Now, the Republicans are having a hell of a time finding something bad on Joe Biden or any of the other Democrats. But the Democrats don't even have to look. They know that the Republicans want to outlaw, on a national level, abortion. They want it. But the Democrats also can see something that the Republicans can't see, apparently, and that is that it's an absolute fucking loser. The vast majority of this country support Roe v. Wade, and the fact that the Republicans are embracing it and even taking it to draconian levels, that's going to cost them votes. It can't help but do that. You know, if you're a young woman in your 20s or 30s or even 40s, and they say, "We're going to take your constitutional right away. We're going to decide what you can do with your body. And in the process, we're going to make it risky for you. We're going to put you in danger." How do you think they're going to react? Even the reddest voter is going to see that if I vote red, I'm fucked. There'll be a lot of people, you know, if this holds true and say the Republicans won, there's going to be a lot of people moving out of Arizona. A lot of people, a lot of doctors moving out of Arizona. Why take that risk when you don't need it? There are plenty of other places that are more amenable to liberal doctors that need doctors. There's a shortage of doctors in many places. So why not go to a friendlier place and get the fuck out of this hellhole in Arizona or Florida or wherever else they're banning banning abortions? But I want you to notice something. With that in mind, all these states that are banning abortion, they're all red states. They're all red states that Joe Biden would have a tough time winning. Now, when these Republicans are doing what they're doing to women, they just gave Joe Biden a leg up even in the red states. And this is why I suggest that Joe Biden is going to beat Donald Trump or whoever the Republican candidate is by a ton. By a ton. You don't take constitutional rights. You don't put women in danger and think you're going to get their vote. You're just not going to get their fucking vote. And if you do, they're stupid. They deserve what they get. But most people want to preserve their rights, want to preserve their safety. And the Republicans have proven here they don't give a fuck. So voting Republican would be the dumbest thing you could do if you're a young woman, because they're taking your rights. All right, we are going to take a quick break, and we will be right back.
On every show, I tell you that if you have questions, comments, or complaints, just reach out to me at rationalboomer@gmail.com. Those emails come directly to me, and your input is crucial to this show. The show is called Rational Boomer Podcast, but that's not to suggest that I'm the Rational Boomer. I am not. I am simply a Rational Boomer. All of you are Rational Boomers. Anybody of a like mind is a Rational Boomer. Strength comes in numbers and not through an individual. You have perceptions and insights that may have never occurred to me. This isn't a show about me. This is a show about us and gaining a voice in this country. There's 70 million baby boomers in this country. Yeah, I know the younger folks would prefer to push us aside. Every generation has done that. But we are a formidable force if we can get together and speak in one voice. This is why I encourage you to let your friends and family know about the Rational Boomer Podcast, not to satisfy my ego, but to give us more power, a stronger voice, to help right this ship we call the United States of America. Lastly, I'm offering the opportunity for my listeners to be on the show. Now, it could be 2 minutes, it could be a half hour, it could be the whole fucking show. I'd much rather have you on the show than somebody pimping a podcast or a book. I want to hear what you think. I want to know what you know. The Rational Boomer Podcast is all about us.
Well, Congress is back in session after taking a little vacation. A vacation from what? I don't fucking know. They haven't really done anything. But they are back, and the House of Representatives could be on the brink of another meltdown. Now, this isn't about arguing between the Democrats and Republicans. It's all about infighting with the Republican Party. And as Democrats, we should be happy to see this. As long as they're fighting with themselves, they don't have time for Democrats. So dipshit Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia has threatened to trigger a no-confidence vote against House Speaker Mike Johnson in a repeat of leadership squabble that turned the House into a circus for several weeks last fall. It's essentially the same kind of drama as before. Greene and other House hardliners are mad at Johnson for avoiding a government shutdown by allowing the House to vote on a funding bill that passed with Democratic support. Mike Johnson worked with the Democratic Senate leader Chuck Schumer rather than us and gave Joe Biden and the Democrats everything they wanted, Greene wrote in a Tuesday letter that complained about the government's supposed trans agenda and the legal plight of Donald Trump supporters who rioted in the Capitol on January 6, 2021. Now, Greene and members of the far-right House Freedom Caucus argue that if Johnson drove a harder bargain with the Democrats who can control the Senate and the White House, Republicans would force them to accept GOP policy priorities, which is absolute bullshit. And Mike Johnson knows that. They don't have the power. They don't have the clout because amongst themselves, they don't have a unified party. Now, in reality, the likelier outcome would be a government shutdown that voters would blame on Republicans. So the fact of the matter is the Democrats had all the leverage there, but Marjorie Taylor Greene and some of these other MAGA fucks aren't smart enough to grasp that. And besides, I don't know that they wanted to accomplish anything. Their goal is to create chaos and problems and then try to blame it on Joe Biden. But how has that worked for them up to this point? It hasn't. But they're like, they're the definition of insane. They do something, they fail, and they continue to do it. It's fucking crazy. Now, last month, Greene filed a resolution to oust Johnson, but declined to force a vote, describing her move as a warning. Oh, you better be warned, Mike Johnson. Her letter on Tuesday amplified the warning, but didn't say if she would invoke the privilege afforded to House members to make the vote actually happen. Now, without saying it directly, Greene suggested Johnson's fate could hinge on whether he allows the House to vote on a $60 billion military aid package to help Ukraine defend itself from the Russian invasion. The money is a top priority for many lawmakers in both parties, but Greene and a faction of the nutcases oppose it, of course. Recent polling shows that 70% of Americans want a peace deal in Ukraine, not to send them more than hard-earned tax dollars, Greene wrote, which isn't true, referring to a February survey from Harris Poll and the Quincy Institute. Oh, yeah, those great polls that don't mean shit. Now, in another recent survey by the Associated Press Center for Public Affairs, 62% of Americans said that either that the U.S. should take a more active role in the Ukraine-Russia war or that current U.S. involvement is about right. Johnson has not said whether a Ukraine vote will happen. A spokesperson did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Well, I think it's indicative of Marjorie Taylor Greene and some of these other fucks getting excited. They know a vote is imminent, and they know the vote will pass because the Democrats have a lot of fucking people, and some Republicans understand the danger of allowing Russia to run roughshod over Ukraine. If they do that, then it's likely they're going to go after a NATO country, and then we're going to have a fucking world war. I don't know about you, but anybody with a reasonable mind would want to avoid that. They'd want to shut down the Russians because Vladimir Putin is a dangerous motherfucker. But as I said regarding the shutdowns and such, MAGA, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and all these fucks, they want the chaos. They want the trouble, the turmoil, because they believe they can blame it on Joe Biden. But they can't. It wouldn't work anyway. Now, in October, when Representative Matt Gaetz forced a snap referendum on Johnson's predecessor in the Speaker's office, former Representative Kevin McCarthy, eight Republicans voted with all Democrats to declare the Speaker's office vacant, leaving the House with no leader. See, this is the ironic thing. They were mad because Kevin McCarthy sided with and got the help from the Democrats to get something passed. And then when they got him run out of office, they needed the Democrats to do that. Because, of course, the Democrats aren't going to vote in favor of Kevin McCarthy. He's a lying, cheating, stupid son of a bitch who's a Trump humper and is part of the reason why we have a problem with Donald Trump to this day. He pulled Donald Trump back into the fold, and he's a fucking piece of shit. But what's going to happen this time may be a little different. And I'll tell you what Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz is doing. They're trying to warn Mike Johnson, you better not put up that Ukraine thing, because if you do, we're going to kick you out. Well, go ahead and do that. Let's get the Ukraine thing passed. And if you want to kick out Mike Johnson, who gives a fuck? You aren't going to do anything more between now and the election anyway. All you're going to do is fumble fuck around trying to get a new Speaker of the House and not being able to do it. Because let's be honest, who do you have left? I mean, Mike Johnson, you scraped the bottom of the barrel with that one and you barely got him in. There's nobody else that can run or is willing to run. Anybody who steps up there is asking to be embarrassed, and politicians don't like to be embarrassed. Now, when they were going through the Kevin McCarthy-Johnson thing, that took about 3 weeks to settle on Johnson after considering several other candidates during that time. The House essentially ceased to function as a legislative body, which isn't really a big deal because it's pretty much ceased to function anyway. All they're doing is having hearings trying to impeach Joe Biden with no evidence and no witnesses. So they ain't doing much anyway. I'm sorry, but we almost have to resign ourselves to the fact that nothing is going to get done between now and November because of Republican obstructionist fucks. Now, when McCarthy was kicked out, Greene opposed that. And in October, she complained that eight of our Republicans joined with all Democrats and ousted our speaker, though her threat to force Johnson out could result in a similar bipartisan outcome. There's no clear alternative to Johnson today. It's not also not clear how many Republicans would be willing to risk a repeat of October's chaos, and it's possible some Democrats would be willing to save Johnson by voting against Greene's resolution. Let's be honest, Greene's not a very popular gal amongst Democrats and even Republicans for that matter. So it's hard to say how this will play out. I mean, I suppose the Democrats could save him. Or there's the other aspect, too, that people have suggested. Because there's such a slim margin, they, like, have two votes over the Democrats. It's conceivable the three Republicans could say, we're getting tired of this shit, and let's just make Kevin or Hakeem Jeffries the Speaker of the House. And there may be some advantage to them doing that. And frankly, if we get a couple of more more people leaving the Republican side of the House, they could just naturally give the Democrats the majority, and then Hakeem Jeffries would be the would be the Speaker of the House. Now, the advantage the Republicans would have in giving up the majority in the House, I mean, actually giving it up, because when the election comes around, you can bet that the Democrats are going to say, look what they did in the House. They didn't do jack shit. And they're going to use it against them in the election. Now, if the Democrats took hold of it the last 6 months, then the Republicans in their minds think they could flip the switch and say, oh, now see, the Democrats had it, but they didn't do anything. That sounds stupid, but not crazy when you're talking about Republicans. Now, even without forcing the vote, Green has succeeded in making herself the center of attention at the Capitol, which is all she cares about. McCarthy, for his part, called her a very serious legislator in an interview this weekend. Yeah. Well, Kevin McCarthy, you're out on your ass. You're not even in the House anymore, so why don't you just shut the fuck up? Nobody cares what you think. So we'll see what happens. We should hope they get this Ukraine thing fixed. We really need to get on top of that, get Ukraine the help to hold off Russia. It's getting fucking ugly there, and they're starting to come up short with weapons and ammunition, and we can't afford to have that happen and give the Russians free rein as they continue to try to take over Ukraine. All right, next up, a New York appeals court judge yesterday, rejected the latest bid by former President Donald Trump to delay his hush money criminal trial a week before the jury selection was set to start. And now, you remember on Monday, Donald Trump filed a motion to get the shit delayed or sent to a different venue. Within a couple of hours, the appellate judge said, yeah, no, we're not going to do that. That was pretty quick. But yesterday, they tried to pull some similar shit. They were going to sue the judge again for venue and all this other stuff. And after they did that, literally within minutes, 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes, the appellate judge came back and said, yeah, fuck enough. We're not doing that. So just go away. And we know that Donald Trump is going to be in a frenzy this week. The last thing he wants to do is to start that trial for 34 criminal felony charges. Like I said, once he gets into this trial and he ultimately gets convicted, to me, that's the end. Now, people say, what do you mean by the end? And I'm not saying that he's going to be taken out of the race because he was convicted. I'm not saying that the Republicans' base isn't going to vote for him. I am saying that a lot of more reasonable-minded Republicans, and we've heard this in polls, if we can trust them, that Donald Trump's prospects fade dramatically if he's convicted of one crime. And the fact of the matter is in this case, 34 felony charges, he will get convicted of multiple crimes, maybe double-digit number of crimes. And that is going to throw a cloud over Donald Trump. It's going to be a heavy cloud and fuck up his emotional state. You know, we've got this situation with his bond that looks like it's going to take a shit. I mean, the next 2 weeks are going to be problematic. He starts this case. He's tried to put it off, and now he can't do it anymore. So he starts this case. A lot of evidence is going to be exposed, and he's going to be embarrassed, which is the absolute worst thing you can do to Donald Trump or any narcissist for that matter. So he's going to be fucked in the head. And then he has to go into court every day, 4 days a week, and sit there the entire time. It's not like the civil courts where he has an option. He's got to be there every day and listening to shit. And in the process of listening to shit, he's got to keep quiet, keep still, and shut the fuck up. Yeah, that's not going to happen. So we're going to see another shit show, and he may get found contempt of court. He could even be taken out of that courtroom and put in a cell for a couple of days. I know Donald Trump thinks that's going to work in his benefit, but it's not. It's going to be yet another embarrassment. So Donald Trump is worried. He is absolutely worried. So you've got this trial. He's going to be convicted within the next couple of months. And then a week from Monday, they've got this hearing looking at his bond situation. Now, you remember, he was supposed to post a $450 million bond. He took it to court, and they dropped it down to $175 million. And as if magic, he ended up posting the bond with somebody, it turns out, who said he didn't know Donald Trump, but turns out he really is a close buddy. But when he did that, a lot of things were exposed. First, he fucked up the filing. He had to fix it. And once he did fix it by sending in his financial statement, they saw it looked a little fishy here. He really didn't qualify to post this bond. He didn't have enough money. He wasn't licensed in New York. So they opened Pandora's box, and now they've got a hearing a week from Monday to determine whether it's a legitimate bond. And I think anybody with a little bit of intelligence, just hearing what we've heard, knows it's not a legitimate bond. So conceivably, Donald Trump never posted the bond. He has a stay until this hearing, but if after that hearing they find out that that bond isn't legit, he was given 10 days to post a bond, he didn't post the bond, so theoretically, the day after they decide whether this is a legitimate bonding company or not, and they won't find it legitimate, then theoretically, Letitia James can start seizing and selling off properties. And that will be yet another embarrassment to Donald Trump. So he's in a criminal trial. He can't move. He can't talk. And then a week into it, they're going to find out that his bond is bullshit. And Letitia James, while he's sitting in court, is going to be seizing and selling off his shit. You see what I mean? Donald Trump is going to have problems with this. As he once said, he's going to be going through some things, a lot of things, things that a 35-year-old man couldn't go through. But you got a 77-year-old man who's not in the best health mentally or physically, and this is going to be a problem for him. It's not going to go well. And if he was thinking he was going to get saved by the true social stock offering, yeah, that's going to shit too. The stock prices are dropping like a rock, and by the time he can even take money out of it, it's going to be a fucking penny stock. All right. Now, Trump lawyers had wanted the trial postponed indefinitely while he fights a gag order that bars him from commenting about jurors, witnesses, and other connected to the hush money case. But the appellate judges keep saying, yeah, nah, that's not a thing. We're not doing that. Justice Cynthia Kern's ruling is yet another loss for Trump, who has tried repeatedly to get the trial postponed. And I'll guarantee you, what is it, Wednesday now? He'll probably try three more times and he'll fail. Now, barring further action, the decision means the first of Trump's four criminal trials will start as scheduled on April 15th. Now, Trump has pled not guilty to charges alleging he falsified business records to hide the true nature of payments made in connection with a scheme to suppress damaging stories about him during his 2016 presidential campaign. Yeah, see, what we're finding out is that he cheated in 2016 over and above the meddling from Russia to Donald Trump's benefit. He tried to hide the fact that he paid off a porn star. Now, a lot of people think this is a big deal. He paid off a porn star. That's going to get him in trouble. That's not the issue here. The issue is election interference. The fact is he made these payments with the intent of holding back information to help him win the election. He committed fraud when he did that. That's where the problem is. That's where the felony is. That's where Donald Trump has the biggest problem. It's not really about Stormy Daniels as much as it is the fraud he committed. And what do they always say? It's not the crime as much as the cover-up. And that's exactly what we're looking here at, a cover-up. And the cover-up didn't go well for Donald Trump because everybody knows what the fuck he was doing. All right, I was just talking about this bond thing, so let's check in with that. The paperwork for Donald Trump's $175 million bond was rejected by a court that determined key details were missing. And then New York Attorney General Letitia James challenged the sufficiency of the bond, saying that the surety backing is not admitted in New York. They're not licensed in New York. He didn't have enough money. This was all just a little fucking scam Donald Trump tried to pull off at the last minute. And Donald Trump thought he would get it through because Donald Trump always gets through things. He's able to bully or bullshit his way through. Not this time. Now, unless the insurance company, Knight Specialty Insurance, can prove it can back the bond before Monday, he's facing a world of hurt, according to a financial consultant. Now, Atlanta-based market economist John Gabrielson said James could start seizing the cash in Trump's accounts if the bond is not posted by Monday's deadline. Now, unless the insurance company, Knight Specialty Insurance, can prove that it can back the bond before Monday, that's where the problems lie. If his bank balances are of an amount that would cover the $175 million, I doubt James cares about the impact of her seizing them upon his company. And seizing cash is quick and easy compared to seizing properties, finding a buyer and doing all the procedures involved. Fact of the matter is, I can almost guarantee you Donald Trump doesn't have $175 million in cash. Otherwise, he wouldn't be going through this bullshit. He didn't have the money. Donald Trump doesn't carry that much money. That kind of business, all the money he has either goes into his pockets for his personal use or goes into buying or paying for other properties. Now, since an appeals court lowered Trump's bond from around $454 million down to the $175 million, Gabrielson says it might make it harder for Trump to negotiate if it turns out he can't come up with the $175 million. The judge can just say, look, I already cut your bond in half or two-thirds. What more do you want from me? And this is what I said before. When Donald Trump got it cut down to $175 million, that wasn't a win for him. The only win he could hope for is more delay. Don't make me pay this money, any amount of money, and we just delay it until we get the appeals court back. But that's not what he got. He got the $175 million. Now, he can't exactly go back and say, well, could you lower it a little bit more? No, you lied on the fucking first one. You couldn't come up with the first one, so no more deals. And any judge that would give him a deal would be absolutely fucking ridiculous. Now, Gabrielson said, adding that if James seizes cash from his bank account, he's going to be in a world of hurt, assuming there is any cash or much cash at all. I honestly don't know what he has to do that would get him another bond, Gabrielson said. My sense is that he's already scraping the bottom of the bottom in terms of availed, willing, and capable sources. I mean, let's be perfectly honest. This guy isn't real. This guy is a scammer. And that's who Donald Trump had to go to. Who's left? Somebody worse than this guy? You don't think they're going to be looking very closely at the next bond to see if it's legit? And chances are it's not legit when it comes to Donald Trump. So that's going to happen a week from Monday while Donald Trump is in court, sitting there every day trying to behave to the best of his ability. And then this hearing's going to go. And when it's done, there's going to be a lot more bad news. It's going to be a bad week for Donald Trump. All right, we talked about this earlier in the program, and it's worth bringing up again because I know it bugs Donald Trump to no end. Like I said, he's got a lot of bad news going with his bond, with his Truth Social stock market issues, with a criminal trial coming up on April 15th on Monday. But as I said, I don't know that that's the one that bugs him the most. The one that bugs him the most is the one that damages his ego, damages his persona. He wants to be perceived as rich and famous and powerful. And steadily but surely, that's all being taken away from him. And that is devastating to Donald Trump. Former President Donald Trump has been bumped from Bloomberg's list of billionaires, according to new reports. I think I said Forbes earlier, but it's Bloomberg. Trump's name did not appear Tuesday on the financial news site's daily ranking of the world's 500 richest people based on net worth analysis of the billionaires' profiles in the day's trading. USA Today, the first to spot Trump's absence, linked Trump's fall to the problematic opening of his media company, True Social. You know what? Even as much as a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, he was still on the list because the perceived value of that stock. But as I told you, that stock went to shit, and now Donald Trump is a broke-ass bitch. Tuesday has been the stock's lowest trading day since Trump Media merged with the public shell company, Digital World Acquisition Corporation. Now, this is what I've told you about Donald Trump. I said this to somebody once when I was in a tight spot. I looked at the guy who had me in this tight spot, and I said, listen, man, if you've got nothing to lose, you can afford to be crazy. And in retrospect, that's a stupid thing. That's just posturing. It's ridiculous. But that's where Donald Trump's head is currently. He's got nowhere to turn. He's in a corner. He's got no way out. So he's going to try anything. He's going to come up with a bullshit bond to save his ass there. He's going to try to push through this IPO, but when he does, he may be even in bigger trouble. The SEC might be in Donald Trump's shit. He's out there pumping the stock, saying how great it is, and it's dying a quick death. That's illegal to do. So Donald Trump is really in a fix. He's in a pickle, as it were. And he doesn't know what to do. So he's just going to do everything. And he's going to take crazy risk like he did with the bond because he's got no other way to turn. And this is going to cause a lot of problems and a lot of mistakes for Donald Trump. The price dip has wiped out literally billions of dollars from the company's market value. USA Today put the value of Trump Media, of which the former president owns the majority stake of about 57%, at about $5 billion as of Monday evening. The company, trading under the ticker symbol DJT, is reportedly valued at nearly $8 billion when it debuted 2 weeks ago. So it's gone from $8 billion to $5 billion in 2 weeks. Where is it going to be in another 2 weeks? And keep in mind, Donald Trump can't grab any money out of that company for 6 months. After 6 months, this stock may not exist anymore. And if it is, it may be a penny stock. And that's assuming the company can still be in operation. Because as we know, there have been some auditors who have said, this is unsustainable. You're going to have to close the company because it's losing too much money and not making any back. Now, shares in the firm plummeted by more than 15% on April 1st after investors got the first peek of financials. Trump Media, $58 million loss in 2023. That's in 1 year, and revenues of just $4 million. Those filings showed that that company was in a fucking mess. The stock may be low now, but stakes are high for Trump, facing mounting legal fees linked to four criminal court cases. And of course, this particular situation. See, this is what I'm saying about Donald Trump. He's got all kinds of problems. And the cherry on the top is Bloomberg kicked him off the billionaires list, and that is eating at his heart as we speak. I'm surprised I haven't heard him say anything about it, because that would be the thing that Donald Trump would be coming out and lying about. But he's got a problem with that. He can't come out and say, well, I'm a billionaire. I got so much money, I don't know what to do, because in a week from Monday, he's got to go sit in a hearing and talk about this fake bond thing. And so the judge is going to say, well, if you got all this money, just put up your money. And he won't be able to do it because he doesn't have any fucking money. Every which way Donald Trump turns, he's in trouble. the True Social IPO is taking a shit, and by the time he can get to it, it'll be worth nothing. The bond isn't going to be accepted, and then Letitia James can go start taking his money and or his property and selling it off. And then while that's all going on, he's in the middle of a criminal trial where he's got 34 felony charges, of which many he will get convicted of, and that changes his prospects completely in terms of the election. For many folks, that is the end game for them. They're done with Donald Trump if he gets convicted of a felony, and he most certainly will. That's why I'm saying over the next couple of weeks, things are going to be bad for Donald Trump, and it's going to be interesting to see how he reacts. He's not a rational motherfucker. He's emotional. He's reactionary. And when you do that and you're in this much trouble, you're going to do some fucked up shit. And none of it is going to be helpful to Donald Trump. He's going to be trying everything. He's going to be saying everything. He's going to be doing everything. But all along the way, as he's doing this, he's just going to be fucking himself over. Donald Trump at this point is on the precipice of self-destruct mode. Not that he hasn't been there all along, but this is when it's going to take the biggest hit, because he's losing on every side, the bond, his stock prices, his criminal trial. And then he's got three more criminal trials that he has to worry about and fight against. Oh, and don't forget, on April 22nd, they are going to have April 25th, which is Wednesday of the week after the hearing. They're going to have the arguments for Donald Trump's immunity claims with the Supreme Court. Now, there's no way the Supreme Court is going to give him immunity. And then after all this other shit happens, they're going to take away the one defense they have in all three of the trials. They're going to take his main defense away. This is why I say Donald Trump can't make it to the nomination. There's just going to be too much shit burying him, and he won't be able to handle it physically or mentally. That's just too much shit. That would be too much shit for somebody who's young, actually wealthy, and healthy. They wouldn't be able to handle that. Donald Trump will not be able to handle that. Time is coming soon when Donald Trump will be buried, and he won't be able to dig himself out. All right. We are going to wrap up the Rational Boomer podcast. I want to thank you for taking the time out of your day to listen. Hope you have a great day, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Rational Boomer podcast. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. We'll see you next time.